Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Final hour of the program here. Chase, Willie, D-Mace on this Monday. Roster moves going on around the league. It'll be finalized tomorrow, and then the countdown to the regular season for the NFL is on. It's a full week of college football ahead of us. We'll have the silly underdog picks later this week. We'll debut that. So we are really getting into the groove now. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We'll have trivia at 1:30. It is an outstanding trivia question that Chase McCabe, doing his homework, has come up with. We'll have tickets to the Blended Festival when it's on the line at 1:30. We'll have our three fantasy questions of the day during this hour as well. But we started off, as we promised earlier, with Gentry Estes with the Tennessean. We're going to bounce around to a couple different topics. A lot going on right now. Gentry, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, good to be with you guys.
All right, Gentry, we're going to hit you with a number of different things here. You're covering the whole scene. Let's start with Vanderbilt, a good win for them against Hawaii, and the big announcement today about the naming rights to the stadium, to where, you know, in reading a little bit more about it, it looks like it just goes beyond, you know, take the check from First Bank. It looks like they want to really try to do some things in the modern times as times change in athletics college-wise.
Yeah, just kind of the next step on this Vandy United push that they've been on for a while now, and I do think it's, you know, I thought for a while it's a really positive step and something that had kind of been long overdue, honestly, with the football program at least, in terms of upgrading facilities. And you can see some of the work that had already taken place. They had to scrimmage this preseason out at Ensworth because the stadium wasn't available. They got new turf there. They've done some work already in the facility in Magoogan. So, you know, there's a lot of encouraging developments on that front for a university that I think needed to probably step it up financially with their athletic department, and they have.
How optimistic should you be, based on especially how far they've come from last year, losing to East Tennessee State? You watch Hawaii, you don't think they're going to light the world on fire. They're going to be pretty weak. But winning 63-10 and dominating going away, what can that do for them?
Yeah, no doubt. Impressive. I remember going back in the spring and in the preseason, I'm watching some practices and some scrimmages here and there, and I'm thinking, all right, this team's better, like maybe quite a bit better. But you don't want to sound the alarm too much on that, because I wanted to see it in a real game. I wanted to see what, honestly, we saw in the second half of that game. That Vanderbilt showed on both sides of the ball, honestly, that they were quite a bit better. They were more aggressive. They were more confident. They just looked like a completely different team from the one that opened last season. And that's a big deal to me, even though I do think they were playing a pretty bad team in Hawaii. I think Hawaii's probably in for a long season. But that was a game going in. Vanderbilt should win that game. I think they were favored by almost 10 points to win that game. And to have them win it easily like that, I think made a real statement. I mean, this is a team that, well, last year they're playing UConn in a game that was among the worst teams in FBS, and they barely won it. You know, it's a big, big change.
We're talking with Gentry Estes. You can follow him on Twitter at Gentry _ Estes for the Tennessean. Now, Gentry, looking at this team, they did a lot of good things this past weekend. Ended up scoring 63 points. I can't tell you the last time I seen a Vandy scoreboard that had 63 points in their favor.
I saw one that the other team had 63.
I've seen that, but not Vandy. But they did a lot of things well offensively and defensively. What are some things that you saw that heading into the next game that possibly they need to correct?
The first 10 minutes was, it's like I wrote, it was the same old Vandy, right? Mm-hmm. That was the thing. As lopsided as that game ended up being, for the first most of the first quarter up until the very end there when they scored a couple of to start taking control of the game. First 10 minutes of the game wasn't very good. I mean, there were the bad penalty killed the first offensive possession, the second offensive possession. You're throwing a ball away on 4th and 5. I think the slow start there is a little concerning. I think, you know, when you're playing a team, when you're going to be playing some teams in the SEC where you'd be down 21-0 before you realize what's going on. But I think for the most part, they showed a lot of maturity and confidence to take control of the game and not to let that rattle them. I think in the past, that certainly had been the case. And, once they got their footing and realized how much better they were than Hawaii, it was over. And I think they're going to gain a lot of confidence from that more than anything, having a slow start and I think rebounding the way they did.
Yeah, because they ultimately, after that first, quarter or first few minutes, they seemed to settle in, and the defense picked up. Wright did an excellent job at running the football, but then he did an excellent job too. There's still some things I think he needs to get better at. But for the most part, with that team, playing that team, Hawaii, I think he did a really good job at distributing the ball amongst his receivers. But their running back situation, I think this is going to be one of the bright spots for this team moving forward this season.
No question. Rocco Griffin comes in not as the starter there toward the end of the half, and, Hawaii can't tackle him. They wanted nothing to do with Rocco Griffin. I tweeted about a halftime saying, if I'm Vandy, I make Hawaii tackle that guy a lot more. And Ray Davis is the guy ahead of him. So yeah, they're pretty good at. I would say they're, when it comes to running backs, that's probably the strongest part of the whole team. But I'll tell you, early in that game on Hawaii's first touchdown, they had a 37-yard touchdown where the guy wasn't even touched. Ball carry out of the backfield. They messed up the run fits, and it was two seniors in Anthony Orji and Maxwell Worship, who I think are two of the better players on that defense. Kind of let that happen. By the end of the quarter, those were the two responsible for the fumble. Mm-hmm. With Worship making the hit and Orji taking it. So I think that was that to me spoke volumes about the fact of them figuring out very quickly how to get where they need to be. And I think Mike Wright did that too. He had a bit of a slow start, but after that, he was pretty good.
We'll talk with Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. Now the Titans finished up their last preseason game. Obviously they're trying to get down to 53 men pretty soon here. What did you think of Malik Willis's last performance?
I thought it was a good bit better. I feel like he improved a lot over this training camp, and I think the Titans obviously made a real commitment to giving him more reps in practice, giving him a lot more snaps in these preseason games, and I think it paid off. I think I think a little too much was probably made of some of Malik's struggles in practice earlier in preseason. I think it was a lot of stuff that was pretty common for any rookie. One of the things I've always said about him is I love his mentality when it comes to move on to the next play, not let mistakes get him down. I mean, he seems unfazed by things that I think would rattle a lot of younger quarterbacks. And I think you saw that over the course of this preseason. I think he was really able to focus on what was important and become a better quarterback in the way they wanted him to be one, be a little more polished, a little more pocket presence, deciding where to go with the ball. And you saw a good bit more of that in this third game. Now, is that enough to where the Titans would feel comfortable with him as the backup all season? I'm still not so sure about that. I don't really know how that's going to go to where if Willis becomes that number two, do they look for someone else? Is Logan Woodside on the practice squad? There's still a lot of unanswered questions there.
Yeah, that seems to be what everybody's tossing around, Gentry, is are you willing to risk losing Woodside to keep that extra roster spot? In a perfect world, Woodside is on the practice squad and you still have him available if and when the time comes that you need to really explore the backup quarterback. So how do you feel about that one?
I think they probably get away with it if they tried to do it, but how do you know? You don't know. There could be one team out of 31 that just loves Logan Woodside and wants to take that chance. So, I mean, obviously it's a gamble, but I think in the Titans' case it would be a calculated gamble that they'd probably get away with. I like the idea of doing it. I did a 53-man projection yesterday, and the way I saw it working was you're either going to keep five receivers and three quarterbacks or two quarterbacks and six receivers. I didn't see a way to do both of those, and that's just how I saw it. But they're facing some very difficult decisions right now, and I don't know if you keep those three quarterbacks if you feel as though you can kind of hide Woodside on the practice squad for when you need him.
Who's the extra receiver that would be at stake in your theory there, that's where it comes down to? Because somewhere in there, if it's not the receiver, it's an extra defensive back, it's an offensive lineman, things like that. So when you were weighing it, you were weighing Woodside versus who at the wide receiver spot?
Two of them. And it's a good question, Willie, because I went back and forth on this, and it was the last thing I decided before I published the thing, was Cody Hollister or Des Fitzpatrick in that last spot. And I feel like five receivers are set, and I think we all know who those five are,
right?
Counting Race McMath with Phillips and the other guys. But I'm still not sure on Des Fitzpatrick. I'm not sure the Titans are sure on Des Fitzpatrick. And I think Cody Hollister is a guy who has proven, they would trust him in a game. They've seen it before. So it kind of went between those two. I lean toward Hollister, but I think there's also certainly an option in which they go with five at that spot.
Something to look for. Gentry, any thoughts? I know Tennessee had their big first game day or game week press conference as they get ready for their opener against Ball State on Thursday. Any thoughts on them at the end of the preseason?
Yeah, I think they'll have a good game Thursday night, win pretty easily, and it'll go how we expect. I guess after Georgia State, you just can never assume that. But I think Tennessee is advanced beyond that now, and certainly with their expectations this season. I like Tennessee this year. I think they're set up to have to take some more strides from last season. I feel like they're better defensively. I think that's the big question whenever you play the way they play is can you have big-time success at this level of college football with the fast-break offense when you're asking so much of your defense, when you're dead last in FBS and time of possession? You're going to need a lot more depth defensively to make that work than what they had last year. So to me, that's kind of a big question. Depth defensively and getting off the field, being better third down defensively. These are things you can kind of start watching for Thursday night in a game they should win pretty easily, because I think we're going to get to see a lot of guys play. It's a good opener for Tennessee. I think they can get their feet under them and get some momentum going.
Gentry, great insight. Thanks a lot for joining us. Good job bouncing around to all the big topics, and we'll talk to you again here very soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
All right, Gentry Estes, he covers the whole scene for the Tennessean, joining us for a little Monday perspective as we hit the big topics. When we come back, let's circle back to Malik Willis, because people may not have heard your assessment, Derek, early in the show a couple hours ago. And then at 1:30, we'll have our Titans trivia question of the day. I guess we can't call it training camp trivia anymore. It's just Titans trivia because we're moving on. And we're going to do a daily trivia question. It won't always be Titans, but we'll kind of wrap up that part of it. But a good Titans question at the bottom of the hour for a prize. We'll also have our fantasy questions of the day as well. But next, we'll talk about Malik Willis's performance on Saturday and short-term, long-term, what's next for him. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace moving on during this 1 o'clock hour. Stillman & Company coming up at 2 o'clock. Jared and Caroline are poised and ready for their assessment, and I'm sure they will hit this topic. Derek, let's talk Malik Willis for people that missed your assessment earlier in the show. I boil it down to this for Saturday. Clearly he continues to make progress the more you see him play. Uh-huh. What I really was excited about is if you just took the best 6 to 10 plays that he had they were eye-opening plays. They were a wow factor. You know, the 50-yard run, the next level that I hadn't seen before in the game situation, moving and then hitting a receiver downfield, sometimes with the sidearm throw. You figure, yeah, at first, when he throws sidearm, you're like, okay, mechanically, can that work? I think running to his right, he looks pretty natural throwing it sidearm. Running it to his left, we'll see. But I think you got something there, right? He clearly can really, really run. There's still a ton. Like, if you look at the other plays, there's a lot of other plays where you're like, okay, decision-making has still got a ways to go there. But give me your thoughts of just how much better you think he is now compared to maybe where you thought he would be at the start of camp.
Well, I mean, at the start of camp, he's a rookie. And rookie do rookie things. And he might not look as polished as he did coming out, you know, his last collegiate game. Because a lot of football is just feeling comfortable with what you're doing. And then, you know, it's just like going from your freshman year to your sophomore year to the junior year. If you are a player, you get better each year. Like, or if you are one of those guys, you get better each year. And you get comfortable with what you're doing. And you feel like, I belong. So you don't think about those other things that may hamper you. Same thing with Malik Willis. You know, coming in as a rookie, he's going to do rookie things. He looked shaky, throwing balls, you know, inaccurate. His accuracy was not there. He was inaccurate on throws. He was running when he should have just been scanning the field a little bit more. But this is what, you know, I like about this young man, is that from game one to game three, it's a different guy from as far as playing the quarterback position. The mistakes he made in game one, he didn't necessarily make in game two. He took whatever coaching that was applied in a classroom, and then he in turn applied it on the field from game one to game two. Okay, we want you to not just look to run quickly. Scan the field a little bit, and then if you got to run, run. Okay, well, from game one to game two, he did that. He's listening to the coaches. Well, from game two to game three, because there were still things he needed to work on after game two. But from game two to game three, there was more coaching in the middle. And you saw he didn't make those same mistakes in game three that he did in game one. Prime example, I think it was the first series of the game. He hits his first play of the game. He is Treylon Burks on a, and I said last week, they need to get Treylon Burks.
And it seemed like, I was thinking of you as soon as I saw that play, because it was almost like that was a plan. Let's see if we can get
this
going.
Just give him the ball quick. Yeah. A hitch, a slant, a quick out. Just give him a smoke route. Give him something where he can get the ball in his hands, where he and the quarterback can start to build a rapport. Well, what did they do? Took his, you know, his two or three-step drop, three-step drop. He was already in shotgun anyway. He throws it out to Treylon Burks. He comes back. He hits Robert Woods on a 5-yard out. Nice catch by Robert Woods also. And then on third, and I think it was like third and five, he gets outside the pocket. You can see you're thinking he's going to run. But in his mind, he's thinking running is my last result. He ends up hitting Treylon Burks on a crossing route for a first down. That shows me progression. Because week one, of the preseason, he would have ran that and would have got the first down, and we wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
But he would have ran and got the first down. Now he's thinking more so pass first, run if I have to. Hopefully that can continue with his growth. I think he was thinking about passing so much so that he had an opportunity to run and he didn't run and he took a sack. Because in his mind, I want to show the coaches that what you're telling me in the classroom, I'm implementing on the field. So just with that alone showed me that this kid, he's really getting it. Now, he finished the regular season. I mean, not the regular season, but he finished preseason 27 for 49. I think he had three or four touchdowns, one interception. And the interception, well, two interceptions. It was a tip ball, you know, in this past game. I'm just talking about his stats throughout preseason. But this last game he had an interception, that wasn't his fault. Now, you talk about the throwing angles. He's going to have to, you know, do that because he's not 6'5 like Ryan Tannehill. He's not 6'5, 6'6. It's what, 6'2? somewhere around there. So when those defense, those bigger defensive linemen get their hands up, he has to throw around them a la Patrick Mahomes. And when he threw Treylon Burks the touchdown, that was a sidearm throw. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the defender was in his face with his hands up. And the only way he was going to get that ball released is if he threw a sidearm. And he completed it, touchdown to Treylon Burks. So to me, this is his job. The backup quarterback position, he's won that job because he showed that from week one to week three that he's gotten a lot better, that he has taken coaching and he has implemented it on the field.
So you think he, and you've been hinting at this for the last week or so, you think he gives you a better chance to win as the backup than Logan Woodside?
I think yes, because to me, Logan Wood, this was a prime opportunity. Because Malik Willis, he was going to be on the roster, period, unless he just, like, bombed out. If he showed any progression, he was going to be on the roster. Third-round pick, he's on the roster. But what this showed me is Woodside had an opportunity to take this competition and really push Malik Willis and, in turn, push himself to be a better quarterback and be that number two guy. He didn't. He didn't take advantage of it.
When you say that, are you basing that on what we saw in the preseason games or all around what you saw? Because
I think
I can make the argument
if I'm
Woodside, did you really give me a chance in the games? I was there with the scrubs. I led him on the touchdown drive at the end. I didn't get to play that much. Or if it's more in the practices and in the controlled scrimmages.
I think it's both. But in a Titans' mind, they're thinking, listen, you've had – opportunities. You've been here. So you shouldn't be going through these growing pains that you're going through as a guy that has been in this system already. And he was. To me, this was an opportunity for him to elevate his play. And that would have helped Malik Willis as well. But it would have elevated his play and it would have showed the Tennessee Titans, I am the backup quarterback. I know Malik is, y'all want him to be the future. I get that. But as of now, I'm the backup quarterback. He didn't show that.
So you right now are saying the move is waive Logan Woodside, keep him as insurance on the practice squad, but you're risking losing him. You're okay losing him
if
that's what it comes down to.
I'm okay with losing him. The Titans worked out a quarterback last week. I don't know if the purpose of working out that quarterback last week was because they knew Ryan Tannehill wasn't playing. So they wanted to have a third quarterback just in case something happened in the game. But they did work out another quarterback. To me, I don't think the Titans are worried about if they do release Logan Woodside that someone else will pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
They believe he will be able to go through waivers. And then if they choose to, they can bring him back on the practice squad.
Right. You have to be prepared just in case that doesn't happen. But I think their sense is, okay, we'll take that risk. The risk might be minimum. And if we've got to go get another guy off the street, then so be it. We'll just ride with Malik Willis. Now, finally, on Willis, how do you continue to prepare him to be the backup but also continue to make sure – he is learning long-term because, to me, the long-term question is much more important
than the short-term.
Than if he just has to play one game this year.
Well,
can he do that? Can you do both?
I think you can, but it's incumbent on Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach, that's his job, to make sure Malik Willis is prepared in case, you know. Downing, that's not his job, the offensive coordinator. He's putting together a game plan. He's worried about everybody. The quarterback's coach, Pat O'Hara, is only worried about the guys in his room necessarily. And he doesn't have to worry at all about Ryan Tannehill. He may coach him up a little bit, but he's not worried about him not knowing anything. His attention should be behind the scenes on developing Malik Willis. He's going to get maybe 10 to 15 reps throughout the whole week with the first or second team. That's just how it is. A lot of his preparation, along with Pat O'Hara in the classroom, will be him taking scout team reps. He has to make that sort of his game time preparation. That's what I did as a second, third, and fourth year guy. I took, you know, the reps with the scout team because I wasn't a starter then. So I had to treat it as a game. That's how I knew I was going to get better. That's the only way I knew I was going to get better is I treated that as a game.
And as we pointed out, that's what football doesn't have in their developmental system. They don't have the minor leagues. They don't have that developmental program where you can get those game reps. Won't be the last time we talk about it, but hopefully, if everything goes the way they hope for, this won't be a huge thing during the season, that you'll just now have Malik Willis fade into the backdrop and develop during the quiet times. When we come back, we'll have our trivia question of the day. It's a really good one. And we'll have our three fantasy questions of the day. We'll kick those around. In the meantime, let me tell you about QC Kinetics right now. You've put it off long enough. If you've got the joint pain and it's hindered you all summer, real lasting relief is there for you through QC Kinetics. Whether it's your knees, your back, your shoulder, your hips, any joint pain, QC Kinetics can get at it and get you moving again with cutting-edge regenerative treatments. No drugs, no downtime, no surgery. They use the highly concentrated healing properties from your own body to restore and repair damaged joint tissue. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in this exciting breakthrough natural approach to eliminating that joint pain. They're here in our listening area, and they're helping people. They're nationwide. And don't assume those old ways and traditional ways of dealing with joint pain are the only ways. Call QC Kinetics and get the free consultation. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. I gotta wonder if Nick has been behind the scenes watching a lot of Magnum PI reruns on YouTube or something. He just likes the song. The rookie producer back there.
I have not been watching the show, but Joe Dubin got me on the song.
I like the song.
This is like your junior high band, like tried to pick up the sheet music to this, start playing it. And you're like super cool. Wow, man, they know the Magnum PI theme song. Back in the day, like you would have the theme song be like a top 40 hit sometimes. You hear it on the count. You don't hear that too often these days. Now, it is time for today's Titans trivia question, and it's a really good one. Brett Kern has been told he will be released by the Tennessee Titans. They're going to go with Ryan Stonehouse, the rookie punter, who's got the big leg. He punted the entire night on Saturday. It seemed to be very telling. He's been holding for the field goals. They feel good about him short-term and long-term. We'll see what happens when the pressure is on in a real regular season game. But in the meantime, we say goodbye to Brett Kern as a Titan and what a tremendous career he had. And that is the crux of the question. Now remember, you can't text in the answer. You have to call. Nick's ready to take your calls at 615-737-1025. Brett Kern is one of two Titans players in history to have played for every Titans coach. Now, forget about the Oilers. Every Titans coach, Brett Kern played for every one of them, from Jeff Fisher on through Mike Vrabel. There's only one other guy that did that. Can you name this Titan? 615-737-1025. Brett Kern is one of two Titans players to have played for every Titans head coach. Who is the other one? 737-1025. If you win, you get a pair of two-day passes to the Blended Festival, which is coming up at the Bicentennial Mall on September the 10th. Passes to the Blended Festival at the Bicentennial Mall, State Park, September 10th, right downtown. That should be a good time. So jump on in if you know the answer. Now to our fantasy questions of the day. All right, Derek, I've been watching a little NFL Network, and you know, they bounce around to the different camps. I'm not watching a whole lot. I honestly haven't watched any other preseason games besides the Titans, which is usually my practice. I'm watching a lot more baseball. But they keep talking about this guy, Damian Pierce, for the Houston Texans. Remember last year, if you had a Texans running back in your fantasy lineup, it was probably because you picked him up off of the waiver wire and you had like seven guys either injured or on a bye week. Right? You just didn't take a Texans running back. Is Damian Pierce a guy that might end up on somebody's roster this year?
I think he will. If you look at his career at Florida State, he didn't put up, you know, big numbers at all. I think he had over, you know, he never had over 600 yards rushing. at Florida State. But PFF, they did their, you know, their premium stats. And they had on here his 92.9 rushing grade is the highest among Power 5 running backs. And his, see, you love stuff like this, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
And his 0.45 forced missed tackles per attempt is the best mark of any back with at least 85 carries. So this kid, he can run the football. He didn't put up many yards, but when they do give him the ball, he puts up yardage. He averaged 5.9 yards per attempt. And but he only had, you know, 517 yards. That was his career high, I guess, at that point. 12 rushing touchdowns. He added some more receiving yards. So this guy is a all-around player. Hence why Houston drafted him their second pick in the fourth round. So what they're seeing in Houston now is what what Florida saw from him. He didn't get the ball as many times as he probably wanted to, but when he got it, he was very effective. That's what he's showing in Houston now, is that when he gets his hands on the football, he's very effective. So he could be a sleeper pick.
Yeah.
You know, in the later rounds, or either, you know, somebody you pick up after the season gets going.
You always take with a grain of salt who does well in the preseason games, but mm-hmm. he's doing well, and it is a wide open position. They're desperate to find players as they rebuild down in Houston. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Let me also tell you that we have a stumper so far. We got all incorrect answers so far.
Oh, nobody guessed?
Nick's been under the gun back there because he's got no intern, and every answer has been wrong so far.
Do you want to get more hints?
Do you give me permission to give a
yes,
hint?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. On this one, I get, yeah.
You okay.
Get, yeah.
Brett Kern is one of two Titans players to have played for every Titans head coach. Brett Kern has been released. Who is the other one? The answer is a guy that was a first-round pick on the defensive side of the ball when Jeff Fisher was still the head coach. 615-737-1025.
Y'all should guess it now.
Tickets to the Blended Festival at the Bicentennial Mall on September 10th is the prize today. The only other player besides Brett Kern to have played for every Titans head coach from
Fisher on.
Jeff Fisher through Mike Vrabel. So be thinking about that. Who was there in the last years of Fisher and the first years of Vrabel? He was a first-round pick mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the ball. 615-737-1025. All right, fantasy question number two. Where the heck is Jimmy Garoppolo going to end up? I was listening to a conversation about him today.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize this, but you know, he's been coming back from the shoulder injury. He's been mm-hmm. on the 49ers. John Lynch has said, look, he's available. Trey uh-huh. Lance is going to be the quarterback. So what they've done is they've basically had him working on a separate field. He hasn't really been taking reps. He's still recovering from a shoulder injury. And so I'm kind of cheating because I can't see anybody at this point, unless it's an extremely deep league, actually drafting Jimmy G. But where do you think he's going to end up? How soon do you think he will find a new home?
I don't know. You know, it's odd because I guess a lot of it depended before because he was rehabbing his injury. So no one really wanted to touch him then because they didn't know how the rehab process would go and when he would be back. So that kind of put everything on sort of hold. But now San Fran has given his agent permission to seek a trade. Where he's going to go and when it's going to happen, I don't know. I know I was watching, you know, ESPN and, you know, they had Cleveland. He's not going to Cleveland. No way, no how. I don't care. Deshaun is gone for 11 games. They're not going to then trade to get Jimmy G to then make him a backup once Watson gets back. They guaranteed this man $230 million. You think they're not going to make him the starter as soon as he's eligible?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Are they waiting? They have to be patient, I guess, mm-hmm. if you're the 49ers. I guess they have the salary cap space to keep him there. I know they're dying to move on.
Seattle's a good spot.
See, but we've been waiting for Seattle for a long time. It doesn't look like they're going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So is it going to be a case where somebody loses their quarterback in week one and is desperate.
He can go to the Jets. All depends on, you know, or the Giants.
Well,
the Giants
but those
are
teams
in the dire
going anywhere. Would Garoppolo make a difference?
Now, I think Garoppolo makes a difference with both of them teams. I'm not saying, okay, Garoppolo goes to the Giants or the Jets and they instantly become, you know, the number one team, you know, to get a playoff spot. No, I think if Jimmy G goes to either one of those places, it does, to me, it does guarantee them at least two to three more wins with him at the helm.
So that will be something to watch for sure. Now, let me check in with Nick. We have a winner now in our Titans trivia contest. The answer is from Georgia Tech, Derek Morgan, the defensive end, the only other Titan besides Brett Kern to have played for every Titans head coach. So, Nick, you got flooded with incorrect answers. Who's our winner?
Oh, my gosh. I heard a couple of Ryan suck-ups, by the way. but it's Derek Morgan.
Derek Morgan is the answer. Who is our winner?
Justin Johnson is our winner.
Justin Johnson.
All right. When we come back, we'll hit you with the third fantasy question. We'll get Nick involved in it. It has to do with DeAndre Hopkins. And then we'll come down the home stretch of the show and then pass the baton to Jared and Caroline. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Okay, out of the bullpen, Nick Kieser, going with the Wild Thing music.
Wild Thing.
And just a reminder, when we do the trivia question, we are going to do the trivia question, we think, around 1:30 every day as we kind of get into the flow here. It won't always be Titans, but just as a rule, you cannot text in on the text line to win. Now, you can text just to say, I got the right answer, but you can't win the prize. Mm-hmm. Okay, just in case people are wondering, you know, you got to call in. And please don't call in unless you want the prize, right? Different prizes, different days. Mm-hmm. So today's question was good, but there are some people that texted in just as a reminder. Now, third fantasy question of the day. I want to know where you guys would pick DeAndre Hopkins. When you do your fantasy draft, and a lot of you will have it this weekend, we know DeAndre Hopkins will not play for the first six games, so he's out. Mm-hmm. His average draft position, last I checked, was around 93. So if you are in a 10-team league, that's around the ninth round. If you're in a 12-team league, that's more like the seventh or eighth round. So what would be your strategy on DeAndre Hopkins, who you know, once he starts playing, you figure he's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. So let me start with you, Derek. What are you thinking?
Seaman, I got a fantasy draft tonight. And I
ooh,
know Nick's trying to want
so
me
it's
to see
the time
what
is now.
Do. I
all
see
of
how you said that, Nick. I see. Let me
so
Mason,
very,
you go first. Yeah.
You guys are scouting each other out a little bit here. You guys are in the same league.
Yeah, we're gonna yeah.
Table talk.
I wouldn't draft him until late. Because there are enough good receivers out there that you should have your pick of plenty, even if you're playing in a, you know, 10 or 12 person league, you should be able to get two guys that you feel comfortable with, and he can be your third in the later rounds because, you know, you're going to have to – you can't pick him too early because what if someone gets hurt and you got a guy on your roster that can't play anyway? So he has to be like one of your late round guys.
Okay. Nick, do you concur?
Okay.
And are you giving us a straight answer or is this just a decision?
Yeah.
No. I'm giving you something good. I had him last year, Willie, and I'm not really sold on getting him again this year. Mm-hmm. A lot like Ezekiel Elliott for myself. I don't think I'm going to go get him. I don't really see the value in it this season. I mean, they've both regressed. D-Hop's going to be out for six games. I don't want him. I really don't. I think he's obviously going to be a good target for them when he comes back, but I'm not interested in picking him up.
Okay, Jedi mind trick.
So if he's available in the eighth round, the ninth round, you're still going with maybe a younger guy with upside?
I think so.
Okay.
I really think so.
Something everybody might have to consider when they have their draft this week, later this week, coming up Labor Day weekend. Okay, good fantasy questions today. Let's hit this before we go, Derek. I know a lot of people may not have caught every one of your roster things here, but you being the wide receiver, you've been watching these guys closely. A lot of people seem to be centering in on perhaps Cody Hollister versus Dez Fitzpatrick as a roster decision. If we feel like Racy McMath is in with his special speed and his ability to contribute to special teams, it looks like it's coming down to Fitzpatrick or Hollister. Who do you like there?
Yeah, and we had TD on earlier, Teron Davenport. And, you know, Teron said Dez seems more like a guy that will make the team. I just don't think he – I'm not going to say he's not going to make it or not. I think it is between Dez Fitzpatrick, Reggie Roberson, and sort of Mason Kinsey.
Yeah, we're throwing these guys. Exactly. Those guys are also other names.
Absolutely. So I think
Chase, for example, he likes Hollister. He's going with him. When I have to say, when Fitzpatrick dropped the passes on the final drive and they scored anyway, he didn't help himself. But it reminded me of something you had been saying. You had noticed he'd been dropping some passes. Yeah. Dropping passes for him has been somewhat of an issue during camp even though everybody remember he won the offseason awards for his hard work. He looks the part. Right when you were out there, he looks like he's got some good tools, big frame, etc. But I did think about that when – you always wonder, does one play, even though it's a meaningless preseason game, does that swing a vote?
I think it can. I mean, you know, he had two opportunities, I think, to solidify his spot on this team. The first pass that Woodside threw to him, an in route, about 12 yards, I think it was on third down. It went right through his hands. I know it was a little fastball, but it was catchable. Touch your hands, you should have caught it. And then the touchdown pass. He did come back and catch a ball, but then a touchdown pass. Nice route. Excellent pass by Woodside. Right in the breadbasket. He should have just caught it with his hands, but he tried to catch it with his arms, and it being all sweaty, it just bounced right off his arms. So he didn't help himself this past game. But he was there. He is their former fourth-round pick. He do possess some skills that they do like, but the starter, I mean, the guys that I see on this roster at this particular time, obviously Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kyle Phillips, Treylon Burks, Racy McMath, that's five. So whether they keep six or seven, if they keep six, I think it's between Dez Roberson and Hollister. Mason Kinsey could be in the mix. I like what he did this past weekend. But if they're, you know, if they're going with seven, then I think Dez is a no-brainer. But then who's the seventh guy?
I've thought this, too, and I have no idea of how I would answer it. But they seem to have the ability to keep these guys hanging around. Like, these 91 players, right? There was plenty of guys that were there last year who were in camp this year that they used in some games last year. Jones is one of them, the linebacker, who you love his hustle. They play the heck out of him during these games. I don't know if he'll make the roster, but if he doesn't, I know he's just a phone call away. But the question is, who of these guys that they're going to cut? Brett Kern is the obvious one, right? He'll probably get some phone calls from other teams starting like right now. But are there other guys in the mix that you wonder if they cut them, they will get snapped up? Like, we have this discussion today. We don't think anybody will pick up Logan Woodside. Mm-hmm. We don't think.
No.
Would anybody pick up Kinsey or Hollister?
I think so.
Or Sammy Kalou or some of these other guys on the bubble?
I think if they choose not to go with Mason Kinsey, I think someone else will pick him up. If they choose not to go with Dez Fitzpatrick, I think someone will pick him up. I don't think they can cut them and expect to put them on a practice squad. Well, I don't think they can cut them, expect no one to claim them, and then put them on a practice squad. I think if you cut guys like, you know, Mason Kinsey, because he has proven that he can catch passes in this league. He's not a starter, but he can put in a position. He can succeed. Dez Fitzpatrick is another one. So whether they keep six or seven, you know, depends on possibly even what they do at other positions.
Two quick notes before we turn it over to Jared and Caroline. They'll have plenty of Titans discussion for you. A quick shout-out to the Nolensville Little League team. We had some great conversations with their coaching staff and even their young shortstop. But just a great tournament for them. They lost in the consolation game yesterday. I thought in the U.S. final, they played the eventual champion, Hawaii, tougher than anybody did in the entire tournament. The level of play that they had was really noteworthy. Just a bunch of guys that are on their way, I think, to some good things, whether it's on the baseball field or somewhere else. I enjoyed the heck out of watching the play. They represented so well.
They did an excellent job. They didn't come up with the win, but they played much tougher the second game than they did the first game.
And that's
game.
A great thing to grow on.
Absolutely. You know? And shout out to the Hot Shots, my niece's volleyball team. They swept last week. They came back and they won 2 out of 3 this week. So, Hot Shots. Let's go.
Good for them.
Guess who's the coach? Ken Amato.
Ken Amato, the former Titan?
Yes, he's the coach of Lennon's volleyball team.
Where did he learn how to coach volleyball?
His daughter plays, too. Okay. So, I don't know, but he has those seriously, those kids, because he was the coach last year, too. From last year to this year, big improvement.
I love
Ken
it.
Has them watching film all the time, all I right. assume.
Good stuff. And I'm going to lay this out for Jared as he comes in. First time since the All-Star break yesterday that the Mets and Braves lost on the same day. That's how well both of those teams have played. So they both lost yesterday. The Mets maintain a 3-game lead. They have the night off, and they play the Dodgers starting tomorrow. The Dodgers seem to never lose. Mm-hmm. They just don't lose. I don't care how many pitchers get hurt, players get hurt, they just keep winning. So key week coming on in that great Braves-Mets race as we move forward.
Quickly, Mason Kinsey has been released.
Yes. So he's out there. We'll see if they can maneuver him to the practice squad. All right. Jared and Caroline will have more coverage for you in a moment. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. here on 102.5 The Game.
We out.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.